everyone, and welcome to the premiere episode of our new podcast, Big Bearded Brooklyn Bros on the Bridge, a Star Trek podcast. I'm your host, Robert Antiquer, a.k.a. the Cinema Junkie, and with me is my illustrious co-host, Big Mac. Mac, how are you?
I am good. How are you?
I'm chilling, as always, you know me. Tonight, we are going to be talking about the pilot episode of Star Trek, the one that started it all, The Cage, starring the late Jeffrey Hunter, as well as Major Barrett, and the late, great Leonard Nimoy as Mr. Spock. For those who don't know us, me and Mac have been best friends since 1990, 30 years.
Long time.
We're That's crazy. Like we met when we were both six, and now we're both 36. So yeah, 30 years. Like that's crazy, right?
That's a long time. That just shows that that's from back in the day, A1 since day one.
Oh yeah, absolutely, bro. Absolutely. To put it more in perspective, I had just moved to Brooklyn. Bushwick section of Brooklyn, to be exact, and it was a block party, and I didn't know anybody yet, so I was playing by myself with a Batman gun, no less, and this kid approaches me like, hey, that gun is cool, hey, you want to play? And I'm like, sure. And of course that was you.
Of course, and guns are cool.
Especially Batman guns. Mm-hmm. And we became fast friends. And that led to being best friends, then best bros, and then it's been history ever since.
Jeez. When I think about it, you were at my wedding, best man.
That's right. I was the best man at your wedding.
You used to hang out with me when I babysitted my niece.
Yeah.
And she's like 21 now.
Jesus
Christ. So it's been a minute.
It sure has. I remember the days when she started speaking. I kept trying to teach her how to call you a fat bitch.
The worst.
I know. But then you turned
into Susie though.
Yeah, I was too. For some reason, she could not just stop calling me Susie. For some reason, it's like, why did she call me Susie? But it just stuck, and I just left it at that because I was like, oh, whatever.
How cute.
Yeah, it was just the cutest thing ever. You know what I'm saying? Lo and behold, obviously, going back to the fact that I was playing with a Batman gun to show that how much of a nerds we were. You know, we're like official ghetto geeks. We were geeks before it became cool. It became cool to be a geek. Now geek is in and everybody's a geek, you know what I'm saying? But we were geeks when it was just like, ew.
You're a geek.
Ew, you like comics and sci-fi and, you know, cartoons.
You're Spanish. Ew. You're black. What are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Good times. Good.
Yeah. Oh, those were the best times. Anyways, but we were huge geeks, and one of those things that we loved about you know, our geek fandom was Star Trek. Star Trek was Star Trek is probably I'm more into it than you are, although I know you're into it too.
100%.
I remember that time you wanted me to come hang out, but I was upstairs watching the Star Trek marathon on Channel 11.
Right.
And the only way you could get me to come hang out in the crib and shit was fucking...
If I put it on. But what did I do? I put it on. I was like, all right, no doubt. Let's go. But you know, and what I'm about to say, probably in the comment sections of this, is going to get crazy. I'm the biggest Star Wars fan of us two. You know what I mean? And that's right. Why it works.
Right, right. Although I do love Star Trek, you are the biggest Star Trek fan. I'm Star Wars fan of us. I love Star Wars, you know what I'm saying? But I honestly prefer Star Trek. I love it so much. It was probably instilled on me because my two uncles were huge Star Trek fans. My late great, my Uncle Junior, may he rest in peace, and of course, Uncle Manny. My Uncle Manny was a big Star Trek fan. and I loved it so much. And so that leads me into like how this show came about. Of course, you know, I'm a Star Trek fan, and a friend of the show, Michael Cook, he on his podcast Video Night, he was doing Star Trek episodes where he was mainly talking about the Star Trek movies. He talked about parts 1, 2, and 3. And I heard it and I was like, hey, if you know, if you need somebody to talk about Star Trek, I'm your guy. And he was like, nah, motherfucker. We all done over here. We good over here. You take that shit somewhere else. But nah, I'm just joking. Michael said, unfortunately, all the Star Trek episodes had already been recorded by the time he posted that episode. And I was like, oh, I want to talk about Star Trek. So I put out this post like, you know, I want to do a podcast about talking about Star Trek. And would anybody be willing to listen to that if I do that? And you was the first one to hit me up like, yeah. Matter of fact, let's do it. And I was like, all right, cool. So
let's do it.
Right. And then I progressively drug my heels putting this shit together.
Well, and, you know what? I think it worked out because we had to get the artwork done, you know, see what we were going to do.
Right. You know, how we're going to do it. I mean, it literally came down to how the format would be, like how I would do it, like whether we would do it over call or we would do it in person. Mm-hmm. Lo and behold, by the time I was able to make that decision, I had it made for me with this whole coronavirus shit. You know, so we have no choice but to do it on call now.
I mean, 6 feet, we could get masked up and go 6 feet away. I don't know how that's going to turn out, though.
Yeah, true story. But, that ultimately led to us here now, and here we are. And, before I jump into the episode real quick, I'll go into a bit of the genesis of it all. Wink, wink, the genesis of it all for, you know, all my Star Trek fans out there. Of course, Star Trek was the brainchild of the late, great Gene Roddenberry, who wanted to do, you know, this exciting space adventure. And he went to the network like, hey, I got this idea. And it was like, all right, cool. Like, let's see what you got. Let's see what you got, bro. So he was like, all right, and he put this episode together. And they was like, it's cool, but, like, it's a little too smart for people at home. So, like, could you dumb it down? And he was like, all right. And then star Jeffrey Hunter was like, nah, bro, you gotta pay me more money because I'm not about to be doing no TV show. Because, you know, he got heisted Diddy, you know what I'm saying, by that time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like he was like, I want to do movies, you know, like you think I'm gonna just do some regular old sci-fi TV show? I play Jesus Christ, for Christ's sake.
You paid me.
And yeah, so they was like, all right, then whatever. So they went and they got another actor to play the new character of James T. Kirk, and that of course was William Shatner, and the rest was history. But we're going to be talking about that premiere episode, that pilot episode, The Cage. You had not seen The Cage when I recommended it to you.
I hadn't. Like, so my Star Trek repertoire, if you would say, was a lot of reruns of the original series late night because I was breaking night because I was a little shit. Then, like, I was like, oh, Star Trek is popping. Yeah, all right. I like this. And then, you know, the next level stuff was coming out, Next Generation, Deep Space Nine. So then I got heavy more into that. And you were like, yo, check out the original series. I went back, checked it out. And I still, because who doesn't have The Cage on it? And he was like, yo, that's the first pilot episode. Check it out. So we found it on Netflix, and you said Amazon Prime. Not sponsored, but what up, guys? And I checked it out, and yo, I kind of dig the cast a little bit more than the original cast.
I don't know about that, but this cast was fine. I like Jeffrey Hunter as Pike, but we'll get into that in a second.
Right.
I really liked Major Barrett as number one. And of course, who could forget Leonard Nimoy as Spock? Although we'll get into his portrayal of Spock.
You're not mentioning, like, yo, my number one guy who I actually digged was the Doctor, man.
The Doctor was cool. Like, he ain't no bones, but he was cool on his own.
He ain't no bones, but I think he could have been something special. The bartender Doctor. I enjoyed his little time at the show.
Yeah, he was cool. He was cool. But what did you but first thing first, what did you think overall the first time you watched it? Like, what was your take on the show?
So I guess since I'm watching it now, I'm flawed to the, well, this is 2020. This was filmed back in the day, but obviously making it through that aspect of it. I kind of enjoyed how, like, all right, so when they were, like, let's just say going warp drive, trying to get to the next spot, they kind of just faded in and out of the photo and then played the music. Like, faded in and out galaxy. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. I enjoyed that littleness. But then you also could see how it might have expanded once they got, like, you know, William Shatner and got the go-ahead, and they could do a little bit more because it was looking a little closed in on that ship and on the bridge.
Yeah, totally. He even had a regular-ass clipboard, yo, like,
He didn't even have
a future clipboard. Bro just had a regular ass clipboard.
I mean, how do you futuristic a clipboard though?
Yeah, true story. Now I guess it would have been like, I mean, the funny thing is when they got to the actual series, you know, the series, they got to, like, what basically was like tablets. Mm. So it's like they kind of predicted the future a little bit there, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But in that premiere, I mean, it could be forgiven because it was a pilot episode. You know what I'm saying? This was like the start of it. So, like, you know,
there was a lot of stuff in the pilot that you definitely had to overlook.
Yeah, absolutely. The story I liked, you know what I'm saying? The whole thing about the entrapment of the human spirit and how everybody, you know, just rebels against confinement, which is kind of ironic since we're talking about this episode, considering everything that's happening now, you know what I'm saying, in the world. How people rebel against, you know, confinement. But we're not going to get into all that because, you know, this is, I don't want to.
This ain't that show.
Yeah, this ain't that kind of show where we're sitting there talking about bullshit outside. But I do want to go into Pike for a second. Now, how did you feel about Pike as a captain compared to, like, Kirk?
I felt like I got the vibe of Pike as being someone who was a captain for a minute. Like, I worked for New York State. I've been there 12 years. And when you got time under your belt, you're tired, man. You don't want to make no more tough decisions. Like, he like kind of checked out. Like, I mean, that was the vibe I was getting. And maybe that was for the storyline of where they wanted to go with it. Mm-hmm. But I didn't get the same. I got more of, like, serious cop haircut type guy than I get with Kirk. I get more of a average Joe who's probably running by the seat of his pants. But, you know, he got some luck on his side, too. So he's good to go.
Pike kind of came off more of as a tight ass than
a cop. He's a narc.
Yeah, totally. Pike. The funny thing about it is that you know, nowadays you speak of Pike, and Pike has, like, you know, this kind of fandom behind them where people just love Pike, and that probably has more to do with Anson Mount's performance of portrayal of Pike in Star Trek Discovery. You know what I'm saying? Compared to, like, you know, Jeffrey Hunter's portrayal of him in the show. Like, we've only had three portrayals of Pike. There was Jeffrey Hunter's performance in The Cage. There was Bruce Greenwood's performance in the Star Trek movies by J.J. Abrams. And then there's Anson Mount's performance in Star Trek Discovery. And that's probably where Pike has seen his...
Was he not in, like, the two-part Star Trek original series, like, into the first season, where they were on, like, a... Pike?
I forgot. That was...
That's probably a nobody, but, like...
Yeah, that was a completely different actor, but he was cast because of his resemblance to Jeffrey Hunter a bit.
Right.
And
I enjoyed Pike from J.J. Abrams. He was a jerk face, but
I mean, he wasn't
RoboCop. Yeah. Come on, man.
Yeah. Pike wasn't that bad in the two movies he was in. Like, he was kind of. He kind of came off as more of like a father figure to Kirk in those movies. Right. You know, and then he was unceremoniously killed off in the second one. Spoilers if you haven't seen a movie that's, 7 years old. But Sean Kenny was the actor who played the fucked up Pike in the Menagerie.
Right.
The wheelchair bound one. But Jeffrey Hunter's portrayal of Pike in here was like, you know, he was like, you know, straight up and tight-lipped, and you know, he was bound by duty, but like, he was like sick of it, like you said, like, you know,
tired of being out.
He was just sick of the shit, you know what I'm saying? He just wanted to be over with, and you know, he just wanted to get home.
And he probably also saw a lot of change. If you think about it from, like, how this is supposed to take place, like, he's now the captain. I know he makes a remark in earlier in the episode when Yeoman, like, comes in and something like that. And he's like, you know, women shouldn't be on the bridge. And his number one looks up at him like, well, are you crazy, bro? And he kind of, like, puts it on his face like,
Right.
It's a little different with you. But so, you know, he's seen a lot. He's probably just done with it all.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, that was dead ass foul. Like, he was like, I never get used to a woman being on the bridge. And it's like, damn.
Like, really?
Like, you type chauvinistic with it, bro. Like, what the fuck?
And then he had the face of,
my bad, babe. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that I was just talking about her. Like, you know, I didn't mean you. You're different.
This long career, man. 20 years. I'm tired of it.
Yeah. I'm tired of this shit. But, yeah. Matter of fact, let's go into number one for a bit. She was the first female, like, really seen, like, high command like that. And
right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, the very first episode, the pilot episode starts with the number one officer being a female. And then you never see that shit again for the longest time. Like, you know.
Shut that down.
They completely shut that down. It was like, nah, bro, we can't have women on the bridge making decisions and shit. You gotta get that shit out of here, bro. And which is kind of fucked up because Rachel Barrett, she was kinda dope as the number one on the
she held it down.
She did. She absolutely held it down. You know what I'm saying? She did her thing. Yeah, she did her thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, she was in charge. She didn't take no shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would have liked to have. I would have liked to have seen more of her, like, you know, as number one. That would have been dope. You know what I'm saying? Like, it would have been really ahead of its time, you know, at the time, to have like a female being second in command. Right. But obviously censors weren't gonna let that happen, you know. back in those days, they were different, you know, women, you know, they had to be, you know, lower tier than the
and men. Look, they're not dumb. They even set it up so when they were going, when Pike was going down to the planet, he was like, oh, yo, you can't come. You're number one. You got to stay with the ship. Sorry. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So women won't be on the battlefield. Like,
Dead ass. Yo, like, yeah, they're like, he dead ass play her like that. Like, yeah, you got to stay up here. You got to stay up here.
You're number one. Sorry. Sit down.
It's kind of almost like a stay your ass in the kitchen. You know
what I'm saying? Which is fucked up. Like, but
yeah,
that's how they do things back in the day. Like, even the original series, there's so much male chauvinistic stuff running around in there. It's not even fun.
Yeah, totally. But instead of taking number one with him, he took his science officer, played Leonard Nimoy, the legendary Leonard Nimoy, as Mr. Spock. And I definitely want to talk about Spock's portrayal because his portrayal
you might not like what I have to say.
his portrayal of Spock in this one is vastly different than his portrayal of Spock throughout the rest of the franchise. He's a lot more animated and emotional. Like I love when later in the episode where they're trying to transport to the planet and only number one and the yeoman get taken.
Oh, he's
the women! The women! His defense, he stated that he portrayed Spock as such because Jeffrey Hunter played Pike like kind of stoic, you know what I'm saying, and like reserved. So he felt like he had to be more animated than Jeffrey Hunter. And as whereas compared to when he was playing against William Shatner as Kirk, and Shatner, of course, you know, being the underrated actor that he is, you know what I'm saying, great actor. You know, he portrayed him in a way that, you know, was able to leave Leonard Nimoy to portray Spock how he wanted to, you know.
No, which he was able, and that's what it is in acting. Like, you play off of, you know, he just didn't run good with Pike, the original, got his name a little higher now. I felt like his portrayal of his legendary character in the pilot was like, it wasn't like bad, but it really, I was like, wow, okay, I guess I like him better in the original series, like after this.
Yeah, like he's definitely his portrayal, because it's more in tune with what your perception of Spock is. You know, Spock is just like this emotionless Vulcan, whereas in the episode, he's very emotional. You know, he's almost kind of useless, you know what I'm saying, as compared to him through the rest of the series, where it's like, you know, he can't figure out what the fuck is going on, and it's like, dude, you're Spock. You're supposed to know everything that's going on.
Right.
You're supposed to know everything happening. How
everything. You knew it was coming.
Like, you're supposed to know how to fix this shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? This is why you're second in command. Like, you know, you're supposed to know how to solve all this shit. And in this episode, he's kind of all like, what's happening? You know, like when they can't leave the planet, and he's just like, what? Like, he's all confused and shit.
The ship. It's taking the data. The data.
Yeah. Like, like, and it's like, dude, what the fuck, man? Like, figure this shit out. You're Spock. But, you know, it's all good. Like, it's a little different. I mean, his portrayal of it is fine. Like, his acting is fine. But it's just so, just all, like, you know, opposite of what we expect Spock to be, because what we're used to. It's kind of just like,
a pilot episode.
Right.
They probably do it together. Like, hey, we got to try to get this sold. Everybody places and go. Like, you know?
Right. It's basically just, it's like a demo. You're basically trying to give the idea
concept, to
the
network. Like,
this is how it's going to look you know what I'm saying, to people. You know what I'm saying?
This is, you throw some money behind it, it'll look way better, but this is where we want to go.
Exactly, absolutely. You know, don't worry about this shit. Like, you give us more money, we'll fix all this shit. We'll fix all of it.
Fading in and out of photos will actually fade in and out. It'll be great. Trust us.
Right. Like, we'll actually have fucking the ship going through space. It won't just be like that. <yeah. laughs> Like, just get, like, you know, like, just give us the bread, bro, and shit. We'll fix all this shit in post. All of
got
it.
Got you covered.
But, okay, moving on from Spock for a bit. I want to go into probably the most important character in the episode is Vina, played by Susan Oliver. And what was your initial thoughts on Vina?
Yo, I felt like they hit the mark. If that was all right, so I'm expecting what I was getting by this time, like when she was introduced, even when she first got introduced, when they first saw the people that, and she rolls up, she's like, "Oh, perfect specimen." I was like, "Yo, she hits the mark. She's pretty. She got nice eyes." Like, I understood where they were going with that.
Yeah,
but I ain't gonna front at first. Though I was like, "Oh, there's something wrong with this lady." You talk about specimen and stuff, like what's going on here? And then it obviously unfolds of like what is going on. I think I feel like she probably played her role really well as a distressed female trying to get a nigga to stay.
Right, absolutely. You're absolutely right. She's absolutely gorgeous woman. You know, and she is. Very good in her portrayal of, like, you know, she's tasked with a job. You know, her assignment is, you know, to get Pike to stay on the planet. You know, they need him to, you know, repopulate, you know, humans, you know what I'm saying? They give him the specimen. I mean,
make a zoo of humans. We got it.
Absolutely. And, you know, what happens is that there's a conflict within her because she really digs Pike. You know what I'm saying? She, you know, it's not like just it's an assignment for them, but it's like, yo, like, I dig this guy. Like, you know.
Yeah, but she made it seem like they picked Pike for her, like, because they're all smart with their crazy ass heads and they know what the hell they were doing. They made, like, that situation happen. Because Pike was her, like, ideal guy. Maybe not by looks, but because they don't know what he looked like, but what she wanted in a man.
Yeah. No, she absolutely dug Pike. Like, she dug him. Like, you know, Pike was good looking, you know, with those dreamy blue eyes, you know. And, you know, his hair is, he got that just beautiful black hair. And it's real. Unlike Shatner's.
I mean, if he paid for it, it's really his.
Yeah. I'll give you that. But she really was like, you know, as it went along, she, like, you could tell she really dug Pike. She wanted to be with him. She was like, "Yo, I want you to be my daddy," you know what I'm saying? He's like, "Nah, I don't wanna do this." Like, you know, like, yeah, like, I dig you. But I don't want to dig you in, like, this environment. You know what I'm saying? I want to take you back to Earth, and I want to dig you there, like, you know, in a real scenario. And she's like, "Nah, bro, I can't do that." You know what I'm saying? We gotta stay here with the asshead aliens. You know what I'm saying? And, and she's like, and he's like, "Nah, we gotta get out of here." You know what I'm saying? And she's like, "Nah, I can't do that." You know what I'm saying? It just becomes a whole big thing. And it's kind of devastating when you realize that the reason why she doesn't want to leave, because if she does, you know what I'm saying? Like, spoilers, you know, for like an over 50-year-old episode. Like, it's revealed at the end is because she's, like, completely disfigured. And, like,
yeah, I was going to say that. It's so fucked up. Like,
yeah, like, it's really devastating. Like, you know,
hit you with the bait and switch real quick.
Like, yeah, she's got the fucked up face, you know, she's got a hump, you know what I'm saying? Like, nah, bro, see, I can't go with you. Look at me, look. I'm a hunchback.
You know, not
over
being
here.
Shallow, but, you know, she knew what the world was about. And was like, I can't go.
Right. You know what I'm saying? She was like, you know, I can't be down there on Earth looking like this. And he was like, and Pike's like, wow, that's fucked up. Yeah, just gonna leave her like that. And they're like, no, we'll hook her up. We'll hook her up. Don't worry about it.
Yo, but are they really hooking her up, or they're just like, they're putting in her mind that that's what she looks like? But if the, let's just say that species got wiped out and she survived somehow, she's gonna be the Hunchback of Notre Dame. Like, she is the Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Right, you know what I'm saying? That's initially the issue, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I mean, but for the time being, you know, she could have her own little fantasy world, even though it is a fantasy, you know, and she's living a lie, you know what I'm saying?
That asks a big question. If you, like, you're a viewer watching it, is, do you have a price? Because Pike could have said, all right, I'm going to stay here, fuck everything else, we're going to live in this fake world, they're going to do whatever I want them to do, that's it. The rest of your life, that's it.
Right, absolutely.
On some matrix shit, are you gonna take the red pill or the blue pill?
Right, he's like, you know, he could essentially have been like Cypher, you know, like he wanted to put back into the matrix. Yeah, you know, but he, you know, Pike couldn't allow himself to do that. You know what I'm saying? He's like, he's a man of duty and honor, you know, so
he just wanted to retire like 20 minutes ago. But like, right. I'm here with this beautiful chick, we chilling.
Right, but you could argue that he, like, basically this whole scenario, the situation, probably, you know, it kind of reinvigorated his spirit.
Oh, of course. It's the don't be careful what you wish for thing, like, he got a taste of what he wanted, and it's like, nah, man, are you crazy? I want to be out here.
Right.
On a ship that don't move through space.
Ship that looks like it's on puppet strings.
Yo, okay, so real quick, what had me a little nerd alert. So an episode was like, something was said, and he was like, the space vehicle. And I'm like, space vehicle? Why wouldn't you say spaceship?
Right.
Why'd you say space vehicle? Like, really? I know it's probably like mad small and minute. And then, so there's a part in the beginning where Pike gets the message. He's like, nah, we're going to go do what we got to do. We got our own people that need to be helped. Walks off the bridge. Two people are walking towards him, a girl and a guy. The girl's wearing like a summer sun skirt and top, and the guy got Bermuda shorts on. Mm-hmm. And a, like, Tommy Bahama polo. And I'm like, that looks so out of place on this damn bridge, on this ship right now.
Yeah, it absolutely does. You know what I'm saying? Like, the fact that they're basically, compared to, like, you know, what the uniforms would look like later on in the series, mm-hmm. like, they're basically all fucking, they're fucking all Christmas turtleneck sweaters and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they all fucking, like, they all look like they're dressed up real nice for, like, Christmas dinner and shit, like the Christmas party, you know, and they're fucking cashmere sweaters and shit, you know?
Right.
But,
the little pins.
Yeah. But, you know, this is the future, you know what I'm saying, with their Christmas sweaters and all the knobs and lights and buttons, you know?
Yeah, so why you have niggas with Tommy Bahama shirts on and khakis? What are you doing?
Yeah, because this is the 60s.
We're in space right now. Like, what are we doing?
That's the funniest shit. Like, when you look at people in the 60s trying to predict what the future will look like.
Yeah.
And it's always some shit like that. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, but Demolition, like, Man. Wait, what? Who said that? Not I.
But Demolition Man actually got some things right. You know what I'm saying? Like, they
got 1999. Taco Bell was supposed to be ruling the world. I know we get on topic, but that was 1999 when everything was supposed to be crazy.
Yeah. We were supposed to have Taco Bell was supposed to be the premier restaurant
ruler of all.
Yeah, but we did get basically video chats and tablets and self-driving cars. You know what I'm saying? Out of Demolition
Man. Okay, touche.
We didn't get
Elon Musk.
Yeah. We didn't get the Taco Bell, or we didn't get the three seashells.
I'm glad we didn't get the seashells. Taco Bell, though.
Yeah, like, Taco Bell's fine with me, but I'm still not keen on the three seashells shit. That shit is like, what the fuck? But, okay, let's go into the villains of this episode. the Talosians, basically the what I like to call the buttheads of the episode.
I mean, excuse me. Their powers are like kind of bananas. Like, when if you can put in a group of people's head some stranded survivors down to the rat-a-tat-tat of their clothes, I mean, that's pretty dope. But it's not like, I don't know, like, they blew a hole in the door. They just didn't see that they blew the hole in the door, but it was there. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right, like, they were kind of overpowered, per se. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the fact that they can control everything on the planet. They can even control the Enterprise and fucking, and hovering above the planet. You know what I'm saying? Because the Enterprise tries to get the fuck out of there.
No, but see, okay, that's what I'm saying. The planet, the Enterprise, technically, there was nothing wrong with it. They made them see that there was something wrong with it.
That's right, that's right, that's right. You know what I'm saying? Like, they made them think, like, they did.
That's what they could do. That's all they could do.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why. That's probably why. That's a good reason to make. Was probably why Spock is such a dumbass at that moment, because
you know what I'm saying? Like, he sees logic. He's like, "What's going on?"
Like oh, Spock, because like, what the fuck is happening? You know what I'm saying? It's like, you're Spock, supposed to figure this shit out. It's because the Talosians sitting there like, "Nah, you're a dumbass, Spock. You can't see anything. You can't
this
figure shit out."
See. Yeah, this is all you see.
You see nothing. But one thing that I find great about the Talosians, not just their powers, but their design. They were originally supposed to be like crab-like aliens, but obviously the budget was too low for them to do that. So they basically just gave them fucking butt heads. You know?
Fine. But it was weird, but I'll take it.
Like, it's kind of like butt heads, but like combined with like nutsacks. You know what I'm saying?
100%
like,
more of the nutsack vibe, though.
Like in the back, it's an ass, and in the front, it's a nutsack. It's kind of like like the front of their head kind of looks like, you ever like squeeze the base of your nutsack and like create like a nutsack bubble?
I do not.
Like, like I was a weird kid and shit, so I was just like, I wonder what my nutsack would look like if I did this and shit. So I squeezed the base where the skin is at and created like a nutsack bubble, and that's kind of what their heads look like, you know, with like the veiny part. But then in the back, it's all a nice, like in the back, it's like all a nice ass. It's kind of like imagine dating a female Talosian, and she's like mad, like she's mad freaky dicky. And like she's with her boyfriend, like, "Hey, baby, I want to get freaky with you." And he's like, nah, baby, like, I'm not with it today. Like, we could do something simple, like, let me just get some ass and some head. And she's just like, "Well, baby, you're in luck, because I'm a one-stop shop for that." You know what I'm saying?
That's so crazy. I mean, listen. They had to. They were like, "Yo, what are we gonna make them like?" So they could be like, "Oh, those are some aliens. That's some out of space shit." Put a fucking ass ball on the head.
Yeah.
Put some veins in there. Let them pulsate a little bit.
Yeah, that was the craziest shit. Like when you see like they would have like thoughts and shit, and then you just see the shit like.
Now, yo, realistically, they were dicks, but they weren't really like. They didn't physically attack anybody. Yeah, they made them think they were burning in some craziness because they had weak minds. You can't, them niggas got strong minds. But, like, they weren't really, like, very violent. They were trying to, and I guess you learn towards the end, like, you know, they were trying to, you know, get down with people to teach them their ways and our learn ways. And what does it always come down to? Humans are a bunch of assholes. We can't be assimilated into nothing. Because we ain't trying to hear it.
Totally. You know, they just figured, like, you know, humans were like a bunch of dumbasses that they can control. And then Pike showed them differently. And they were like, wow, like, you know.
Oh,
like
you guys will kill yourselves if we try to enslave y'all? Ah, yeah, we don't need that. Like, we don't need to clean up that mess.
Like, Like, oh, you guys don't like it? You guys don't like being slaves? Oh, like, my bad. Like, you're good.
Oh, yeah, I could go.
Yeah,
you could go.
Yeah.
That's all you had to say. Yeah.
Like, you know, like, that's crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's actually probably why a lot of people involved with the show, like, have admitted that Cage is probably the best representation of what Star Trek ultimately is.
Yeah.
Ultimately is, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I know Major Barrett, who played number one and then went on to be Waxana Troi in Star Trek The Next Generation. She also played the computer on various productions of Star Trek. Also, like, most famously, she went on to be Mrs. Gene Roddenberry until his death, and then unfortunately her death, you know. And she admitted that was probably her favorite episode of the original series of Star Trek, you know what I'm saying, because it was the most Star Trek, you know. It was, you know, it basically took everything that Star Trek was and it just put it into this episode, you know what I'm saying? It was the best representation of it.
And, I think it probably was, because look where it went to. Like, true fans know of The Cage. You know what I mean? Maybe I'm a true fan now because you put me on, but in the beginning I didn't. But true fans probably know of this episode. And there are people who are probably going to hear this and now go watch the episode. And look where Star Trek is. We're at Picard, his own show, pretty much around him. Like, you know what I mean? With so much body of work in the middle.
Absolutely. You know, there's a reason why this show has persevered, you know, over 50 years now. You know, we're going on like soon it'll be 60 years of Star Trek, you know, and there's a reason why, you know. And everything that's great about Star Trek is basically perfectly encapsulated in this episode. Like, you know, the alien element as well as the human element, you know, was you know, exploring strange new worlds, you know, and all that stuff. But also keeping forth, like, you know, that human element that, you know, where everyone can relate to, you know. So, you know, The Cage is a great episode. If you haven't watched it, you really should. It's a great episode, like, great representation of Star Trek. If you want to know what Star Trek is all about, you can't do no better than starting with The Cage. You know, obviously, it doesn't have Bones or Uhura, you know, the rest of the great cast. But it's a perfect place to start. Like we said, it's on Netflix as well as Prime. So
and it's funny because I have Star Trek playing in the background, and you mentioned Uhura in the Cage. I believe there was no black actors or actresses.
No,
you know what I'm saying? And I'm not even being on no race shit. I'm just saying, like, you know, there were no black actors or actresses in that one. And now look into the Star Trek, like, it took over with the new cast. They made a prominent role, black female. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, they didn't make the female number one, but they went ahead and made a black female a prominent reoccurring role that she's not going to die. She's not one of those shirts. Like, you know what I mean?
No, but she was, remember, she was number one. She was, after Riker was promoted to captain, she became his new number one officer.
But I'm saying, like, when the series Star Trek, like, took over after The Cage, they put her in.
Star Trek is all about, you know, inclusion, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you had a Jewish guy playing, I mean, although people didn't know he was Jewish, you know what I'm saying, because he's supposed to be Vulcan, but Leonard Nimoy was Jewish actor, you know.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, you had Walter Koenig, who was Russian. George Takei is Japanese. You had Nichelle Nichols, who's black. And you have William Shatner, who's Canadian. So, like, you know, you have all this, you know, inclusion, you know, kind of togetherness of the races, if you will. And, I mean, that's the basis of Star Trek, showing that, you know, as a race, you know what I'm saying, we're all one race, the human race, and we're all together in this. So, you know what I'm saying, like, we should all, you know,
boldly going where no man has gone before.
No, no one has gone before, you know. No man has gone before, you know what I'm saying? This
I drop man, you know what I'm saying? You know what? You're right. That's very asshole of me. We are people.
Nah,
you're
like,
you're right.
Nah, like they figured it out halfway through, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was no man, and then they was like, oh, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, let's no one, because, you know, women...
No, you're right. We 100%, 100%, we are one people.
Absolutely, absolutely. But yeah, the cage is a great episode. You absolutely should watch The Cage. It's on Netflix and it's on Amazon Prime. You can find it as episode zero, you know, because it's not technically an episode. But yeah, like, you know, if you want to start off with Star Trek, you could do no better than The Cage. And I highly recommend it.
Oh, 100%. Like I said, you told me to check it out. We were going to do this podcast. I checked it out. I enjoyed it. I watched it a few times because there's some things, like, you know, you want to see. You want to be like, oh, I might have missed this or whatnot. I think it sets it up right. How, yeah, we got a whole new cast in the original series, but I can even look at it as like their predecessors, like a shit before, like they, like, probably in this world they're retired or something. Like, it was it was good.
Yeah, it was great. But yeah, can't recommend it enough. And that concludes this episode of Big Beta Broken Bros on the Bridge. Next episode, like, to give you a tidbit, we're going to be going at random. Like, the initial idea was to do to go from the very beginning. This is why this has led to the reason why The Cage is the very first episode, but we decided we wanted to go at random because we just wanted to focus on Star Trek as a whole, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, every new episode is going to be a surprise. You know, we're going to pick episodes at random, you know, so stay tuned for that. Mac, I cannot thank you enough for doing this with me.
Nah, you're
fine. You know, you are my number one. You know what I'm saying? I can't do
got
this
you, bro. And also, I got you, man.
Also, to thank you, you know what I'm saying? For those who are listening, my boy Mac here is an essential worker, and he is out there every day risking his life, you know what I'm saying, to take care of, you know, the people he's in charge of. You know, he works in the medical field. And I just wanted to give a big shout out to you and all the essential workers out there, you know, risking themselves, you know, doing the Lord's work, and, you know, can't say enough good things. So shout out to you, bro.
Thank you. And 100%, every state, everywhere, all listeners, essential workers, people who are going to work, states ain't doing right by us, but you know, it is what it is. We're going to keep doing what we do. We'll get through this, hopefully sooner than later. It's when we get through this. And to the masses, if you got Facebook, definitely check us out on Facebook. If you got topics that you might want, like Star Trek, you can definitely drop there, and we try to get at it.
Yes. You can find us on Facebook as the Big Beta Broken Bros on the Bridge, a Star Trek podcast. You can find us on Instagram, Big Beta Broken Bros on the Bridge. You can find us on Twitter as 4B on the Bridge. And, yes, if you have any topics you would like to hear us discuss concerning Star Trek, we would love to hear it. We would love to hear your feedback. If you enjoy this episode, you know, we would love to hear everything, you know, all your comments and stuff, you know. And if you like this, we'll do more. And if you don't, we're still going to do it anyway. we don't give a fuck. Yeah. We still go to it. But to the viewers out there, you know what I'm saying? We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we will see you on the flip-flop.